Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
All right, it's Evans and Klatt with special guest. You may know him from Fox Sports.
Yes.
You guys own chili that you could pick up around Denver.
Mm-hmm. We're glad you can join us, Mark.
Yeah. Yes. Mark Schlereth, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you. Am I late?
This is
I feel like a hot ex-girlfriend of mine. Just
Yeah.
No, normally you got to pay double for that type of action, Mike. Yeah.
I think I do have to make point of order here. Do you really have any hot ex-girlfriends?
Yeah. Mike. Come on. Hey, back in my younger days.
You were a little portly then, too.
I don't know. I saw the nude beach video.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. It should be. Now it's a nude beach.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right.
Take their cues from you fellas.
That's right. Sure. Showed off the tattoo. You were there for that tattoo.
I was there. You know, that was our first week
that
on the air together.
First week.
I'm sitting in that tattoo shop. I came and watched him get the actual tattoo. And this guy looks over at me and he was like, "You want one?" Yeah. I was like, "Are you out of your mind?"
You know how I picture Joel in a tattoo establishment?
With all the needles and stuff?
You're looking at it, arms crossed.
No, I picture you wrapped in like cellophane, just like, just barely being able to move in there going, "All right, nobody touch me."
It was a funny night because, I mean, there were TV cameras there. Yeah, I mean, this was a thing.
Wasn't there a guy that got one with you, like in solidarity?
Stoli.
Yeah, that's right. Stoli, what's up? How you doing, brother?
So I look over at him at one point, and this is our first week together. And he's got this look on his face. It's kind of like, what am I getting into here?
What's happening here?
You know?
More so, I was just like, dear God, I hope this guy's not the quarterback for more than 1 or 2 years. Because then we're going to have to talk about him the whole time. And I was not like a big, like, hey, he's the savior. You and I kind of shared that same opinion.
Right.
The listeners were not happy with me then. And it continued.
Yeah.
It continued.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, I want to ask you.
Joe Klatt, by the way.
Yes, I want to ask you questions about this game because of the work you do in college football, and you know it's funny because you're talking about two offenses that are rooted and based in the same terminology, right?
Yeah.
Both West Coast, where Andy Reid has gotten small and expanded in more of a spread type of concept, mm-hmm. and Kyle Shanahan has gotten big and contracted in a 22 personnel, 21, two tight ends, two backs, those type of things. But one of the things I want to ask you is about defending the RPO. Because you look at San Francisco, I think the RPO game is really based on getting you to play man, right?
Yep.
And finding a way to exploit you in man, where San Francisco tends to play a ton of, cover three, matchup cover three. That's what they want to be in. They want to play a zone concept on the back end.
Yeah.
So how does Kansas City manipulate that, and how does that affect San Francisco?
Man coverage was an answer to the RPO, mm-hmm. right? Go middle close defense and run man coverage, because then the conflict is not there.
Right.
Right? Because the RPO, the baseline of the RPO is that you're trying to put defenders in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Run-pass conflict. In particular, support players. A lot of support players, right? And then you would have to kind of like that support player, you want him in zone so that he's got to be responsible for a gap and some area of the field. And then you're getting him to commit to the run, and then you're throwing behind him. So you're trying to create some void either for your run game or for your passing game. So to a certain extent, that matchup, at least in my estimation, really favors Kansas City. If you get zone coverage and you're Kansas City, I would feel very good about it. Now, the reason they're so good offensively is because if you get man, they've just got guys that are faster than you. And then it's really tough to go man on that as well. But in the college game, man coverage didn't used to be prevalent at all. Nobody played man coverage. Everybody played zone. It was some form of Tampa 2, and then it was some form of quarters, and then it was kind of a matchup bracket quarters, and then it was a lot of cover 3. And the RPOs just started gashing everybody. And so everyone was like, okay, well, we got to play man coverage, and that's the answer to the RPO. So to some extent, I feel like Kansas City's ability to play man helps them in this game, because if you're going to get into that RPO, then your players are in less conflict than the players that are in zone.
Did you ever think you'd see the day where the college game would influence the pro game so much? That
football's weird. I think that when you look at football, football is influenced from the bottom up, not the top down. You know, and it's been that way for a long time, a long time. College football and the influences that you see and what is college football now has been influenced and really was low-level college football and high school football. So that's why you see guys like Gus Malzahn and Art Briles that came into the college ranks, Chip Kelly from small schools in New Hampshire. And all of those guys influenced college football more than anybody else. So they're the ones that brought this, like, spread running game. How do you negate the importance of the offensive line? Because at small schools, what's the toughest thing to find? Offensive linemen. At lesser big schools, what's the toughest thing to find? Offensive linemen. So you're trying to negate the impact of your offensive linemen by spreading out, running the RPO, putting defenders in conflict, trying to exploit the space with the wider hash marks. And so really, it's an evolution of bottom up in football. And so this is just kind of a natural progression of that. Very, very few times do college programs be like, did you see what the Patriots ran? We're going to try that. But they'll see something that happens in like Group of Five or Division Two or something along those lines, and they'll start to incorporate those things. High school football has a huge influence on college football, in particular regionally. One of the reasons why the Big 12 does not have many great linemen, both offensively and defensively, is because everybody in Texas runs the Art Briles spread. Right, it's all like air raid, spread run, so you're negating the importance. In the South, in the high school footballs, they still have a big importance on defensive line and offensive line, so that's where the majority of those come. On the West Coast, it's a lot of spread, skill position players, corners, wide receivers. So again, the game is influenced kind of from the bottom up, even in recruiting.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things, and I did it on one of my broadcasts explaining because we were doing a Kyler Murray game.
Yeah.
Explaining, and I had talked to Kyler Murray about it, explaining the hash marks, and
yeah,
the difference in the hash marks and how big a difference that. And this is one of the reasons that spread will not completely take over in the NFL, because the hash marks are so huge. So explain a little bit how that aspect affects pro football.
When you have wider hash marks, and they're even wider in high school, by the way, but when you have wider hash marks like you do in college football, there's so much more space on the field. You could say, like, no, it's still 53 and a half, but it's so different because to the wide side of the field, those defenders, for instance, in college football, you see so much what's called FSL, formation of the sideline. You put the strength of your offense into the boundary, the short side of the field, and then you're forcing them to make a decision. Are they going to put the strength of their defense into the short side, which then puts one defender in support to this massive amount of space in the middle of the field? And that's what Oregon does a lot of, in particular with Kelly back in Chip in back in the day. That's what Baylor did with Briles. That's what Lincoln Riley does a lot of. And then what happens is you take these defenders that have a massive amount of space, and then you attack them. And you attack them with conflict, like the RPO. You attack them with quality players, your fastest player on them out in space, and you don't get that in the NFL because the formation of the sideline doesn't create as much space to the opposite side.
I'll tell you one other thing it does. When you have a young quarterback, which you always break in another quarterback in the college game, you play to that short side of the field, and you have a conversation with your quarterback the whole time. And from a changing of personnel and stuff, you can change your personnel. They've got to run further on the defensive side. That part of it is a really interesting and a tactical, you know, advantage to the offense and to the coaches that are on that sideline. It's really a cool thing to watch in the college game.
It is. But I will tell you, I've argued for a long time they need to mirror the NFL hash marks and just bring them in tighter. And the reason is because in college, the margin between an average player and a great player in college is really wide. Where in the NFL, the margin between an average NFL player and a great NFL player is much tighter. Because that average NFL player is ridiculously elite to be at the level that he's at. So when you take, like, if you just take an average outside linebacker or support player to the weak side, and you put him in space in all, you put him in space to the wide side of the field, he's going to get taken advantage of almost every single snap. Whereas in the NFL, that's not necessarily the case. So I've always thought to myself, in order to negate some of that margin, you should reduce the hash mark so that that player is not put on an island as big as the one he is now with the wide hash mark.
Joel Klatt joining us, and he's going to be able to stick around for another segment. So we'll do that and find out what his next project is, the return of the XFL and his role in that.
How about that?
That's coming up next. But Joel Klatt joining us right here on Radio Row, and he's down here doing we'll get to what Joel's going to be doing on Sunday, which is really, really cool.
Excited.
Really cool.
Excited.
Really cool.
Yeah, it is.
Terrell Davis is going to join us coming up here at 7. I know you miss our texters.
Oh, man.
So much.
And I know they miss me.
Yes, they do.
Here's one for you.
That's a lot.
Go ahead and trash Tebow all you want. He never lost a game 70-3.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what. I got nothing on it. You're absolutely right. Played on a great team. He was one of the great. I think he's a top five college football player ever.
Were you surprised he didn't end up on the top 10 list?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunately anytime that you start talking about, unless it's the greatest teams in college football history, when you're talking about a list of like greatest college football players, too often what they did post college has an influence in where they're slotted. And I think that has if you literally just negate, like, hey, they were done in college, now blank your mind of what happened to them, I think that you have a much different picture of guys like Vince Young, Tim Tebow. You know, those guys are top five players in the history of college football for sure.
Okay, you are going to be starting up with the, I guess, rebirth, reincarnation of the XFL. Yeah. You're going to be part of the broadcast.
I'm excited about it. It's very different than the first iteration. You know, it was much more about entertainment, kind of the WWE style in the first iteration. This is very much a football-first league, and everything that they're doing is a football-first kind of priority. The reason I'm excited about it, guys, is, you know, like, I really, Mark, you and you do as well. I know all of us. I love football. I love it. I love the X's and O's. I love the nuance. I love the strategy. I love trying to bring the viewer closer to that. It's one of my favorite things about calling games. And in the XFL, what you guys are going to get as a fan is, for example, we have the audio of the coaches calling the play into the quarterback, and so into the headset. Now, that headset's also going to be afforded all the skill position players, which is a little bit different than the NFL. So it's not just the quarterback. It's all the skill position players. We're going to broadcast that live real time. So, like, during the game, we'll just lay out, and you'll hear the play call to the quarterback. And the quarterback will be actually mic'd up, and you'll hear him, like, his communication with the offensive line in real time. I'll be able to try to, like, decipher and be like, okay, here's what that means. You know, here's what you're about to see. And for me, like, if you're a real football fan, that's going to be, I mean, like drugs. I mean, you know, I mean, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really cool. I think the rules are a little bit different, and I think that they're for the betterment of the game. I think people are really going to enjoy this because this is about football. And I think it's bringing people closer to the sport that they love.
I think, one, it'll be really enlightening for the average fan to see the complexity of the game and all the things you have to do and decisions you have to make in a split second.
Yes.
And if you're wrong, guess what? You don't get to play because you're the one that's creating sacks. You're the one that's creating turnovers. You're the one that's creating bad plays. I think that part is cool. The other thing, and the reason you should be loving this as a fan, is I truly hope that this has success and that the NFL, in some capacity, eventually kind of partners and this becomes a grooming place for the guys, because the way we practice now in the NFL and the way we have structured our league, guys can't develop.
No.
So this becomes
because they don't practice.
Right. This becomes a there's great college players that don't make it in the NFL because they don't get the they don't get to work. This becomes a proving ground
for
the next generation of NFL players.
Think about it. There's no players association in this league. This is one of the things I've been talking about with these guys that are going through the training camps and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's no CBA.
Right.
You know, there's no like, hey, you know, you can't put us in pads more than 3 days in a row. It's like, this is football.
Yeah.
You know, right. Like, you want to be here? Great. Put your pads on and let's rock. So, yeah, it's very much, but it's not necessarily a developmental league, but that element is absolutely very strong. And I think that's a good point, Mark. And I think it's also going to change the game a little bit because this is going to be an avenue. There's no age limit on this league, right? So this is going to be an avenue.
Mm.
If there's a kid who's a freshman in college and he's like, I'm not going to take one more free snap of football. And he's like, I'm going to go to the XFL. I think that's going to play a part eventually in this league, which I think is fascinating to a larger extent, just in terms of the makeup of college football and how this goes. But again, I think people are going to be very pleasantly surprised at what we're going to be able to deliver, the access that we have. We're going to have the ability to, during the game, tap into the coach's headset, not only to hear him talking to his players, but also just to talk to him. So we'll interview him from the booth into his headset on the sideline. Hey, why'd you make that call? Why'd you punt right there?
Mm.
And you're going to get real time, like, well, right. This is what I was thinking. This is why we went, you know, for three, because you can go for three after a touchdown. You go one, two, or three, and it's all snaps of the football. It's no kicks. You'll figure it out once you watch.
And that starts next weekend.
Next weekend, Saturday, is the first game for us. So 5 Eastern. I've got L.A. against Houston. And, it'll be fun, man. We got 10 weeks. Kurt Menefee is going to be my play-by-play man. I'll be the color. And I think people are going to enjoy it.
So, real quick, everybody's going to be hanging out, watching games with friends and family on Sunday. Why don't you tell people...
This is me and a couple buddies.
Who you are going to be watching the game with on Sunday.
This is me and a couple buddies, Mike. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. A few buddies named.
Okay, so if you want to watch... On the second screen, get your iPad or your laptop or whatever, and you want to watch Joe Montana, Drew Brees, and Brett Favre watch the Super Bowl together. They'll be watching the Super Bowl, and I'll be kind of in the corner helping them navigate through telling stories and everything. So I'm going to sit with them and do the watch party with them, and those three guys will be offering stories, tidbits, insight into the game. And so I think it's a really cool second screen experience. You can check that out on any of the Fox digital platforms, Facebook, Twitter, any of that. They'll have a link there.
I would just ask one favor of you.
Yes.
I would ask you to talk to Brett Favre at some point and say, hey, when Schlereth whipped your ass in Super Bowl 32, like, what were you thinking?
That's right.
Yeah, get something in there like
you
that.
You don't think I'm going to...
You got to geek out a little bit as a Bronco fan, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, when they tell their favorite Super Bowl moment, I'm just going to be like, well, when I was a kid, it was watching John Elway's helicopter beating your ass as a 10-point favorite, right? You know, that was pretty much my favorite moment of my life right there.
Exactly.
Well, our next guest is somebody you grew up idolizing. Terrell Davis is going to join us.
Hey, I can't see. You don't need to see on this one. We just need to fake it to you.
Right. You don't worry about your eyesight.
Hey, good to catch up with you.
Awesome to see you guys.
Thank you for all the great work you do during the season.
Love coming on with you. I even like, and these are the early texters. These are the good ones.
Yeah. Wait till 8.
Love you guys. Not the next hour. I love you guys.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Good luck. Thanks, good to see you.
You too.
Thanks, Joel.
All right. Terrell Davis joins us.
Awesome.
Coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.